Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Today in Sports Betting for Friday, July 1st. Happy Canada Day to all our Canadian listeners out there. This is Sports Ethos presentation, and I'm your host, Doug Reed. You can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. And if you haven't already checked out our Sports Ethos site, I suggest you go to sportsethos.com. You can get our articles, our litany of podcasts, and information on some of our subscriptions. I'm part of the Wager Pass group, running for $15 a month. You can get handicaps in all of Major League Baseball, a lot of tennis handicapping for the summer. And when we heat up in the fall, we get a lot of football and back to basketball. Basically all the sports, the major sports, throwing some tennis, throwing some Aussie rules football, and lots of information for a great price. Also, we've got a couple of handicappers who are doing quite well. If you're a tennis fan with Wimbledon on right now, I suggest following on Twitter, Fish Fisher. That's Fish underscore Fisher and then the number 4, F-I-S-H-E-R and the number 4. He's doing quite well. They're tennis handicapping. A lot of games going on. Obviously, with Wimbledon heating up, a lot of interesting plays, and he's been doing well. And for Major League Baseball, Blake LaWatch runs our gaming division, wagering division, pardon me. And he's been doing fantastic. Blake is actually up 17.5 units already on Major League Baseball. He loves it to play a lot of first five angles, which are kind of unique. You don't get a lot of that out there. So some different angles and really knows his stuff in baseball. So I suggest tailing him or following him on Twitter. It's Blake LaWatch. So all one word, B-L-A-K-E-L-A-W-A-T-C-H. Been doing really well in baseball. And like I said, it has some unique angles in first five, so someone which makes some interesting plays or different plays that you're not going to get in most other places. And in general, we are blowing up here at Ethos Fantasy. A lot of stuff going on, and you can find more fantasy information on baseball and football if you follow us on Twitter at Ethos Fantasy BB for baseball and at Ethos Fantasy FB for football. I know they're fantasy sports related, but they also get a lot of good information. You also get a lot of good information regarding MLB and some wagering. So I think it's worth following. We have podcasts for both fantasy football and fantasy baseball. Obviously, we've got this podcast. We've got litany, like I said, a lot of other podcasts, whether it's team specific in basketball or NBA in general. You can find a lot of information. So go to our website, sportsethos.com. And scroll through some articles, some podcasts, and some packages that we have. Now, let's get on to the baseball card, a big 15-game card as we head into the July 4th weekend. Some interesting series on the go already and some others starting up. We start with our first game. We have the Red Sox are in Chicago to play the Cubs and lefty Rich Hill on the mound. And you get righty Adrian Sampson for the Cubbies. You can get the Red Sox at minus 150, the Cubs plus 130. Total here is 8. You can get the Red Sox at plus 110 on the run line. Hill comes in with a 4.09 ERA, 1.27 whip in 66 innings, 19 walks, 55 strikeouts. Doing his Rich Hill kind of thing, not striking out as many guys as he used to earlier in his career. But a very good, been a very good serviceable pitcher for the Red Sox as their surge continues. Sampson, on the other hand, only has 10 two-thirds innings. So not a lot to go on. 1.69 ERA, 0.84 whip, 2 walks and 10 strikeouts. 2 small sample size. I actually like Hill here in the Red Sox, but at minus 150, it's kind of a stay away for me. You never know when you get in Chicago. And as well as I said, Hill's done a decent job this year. He can be inconsistent. So this game's a stay away for me. Next game, 307 in the East, has Tampa continuing their series in Toronto. With the Jays, you can get righty Corey Kluber on the hill for Tampa and Jose Berrios, the righty on the hill for the Jays. Jays open as 145 favorites. You can get Tampa in the money line at plus 125. Total here is 9. I would lean to the Jays, just a little bit steeper price. Berrios has been hot and cold, and as hot and cold as any pitcher this year. Comes in with 78 and a third innings, 5.86 ERA, terrible. 1.39 whip, terrible. 20 walks, too many walks, 64 strikeouts. So the thing with him, though, is on the road, he's been gone awful, and at home, he's been decent. He's also had two or three huge blow-up games, including his last one out. So those numbers are inflated. I don't think he's not pitching that poorly, but those numbers are inflated by a few really bad outings. Kluber, on the other hand, has had a good resurgence from Tampa Bay, 73 innings. 3.45 ERA, 1.08 whip, 11 walks, and 66 strikeouts. However, Tampa's bats versus Toronto's bats aren't really even close the way these two teams have been hitting lately. So I lean to Berrios being able to have a good game at home, and I lean to the Jays' bats being able to get the Kluber more than Tampa's bats going the other way. However, at 145 on the Jays, it's a little steep. So this game's also a stay away from me. Third game of the day is in Washington, 6:05 in the East, and you get the Miami Marlins behind their lefty Trevor Rogers going against the Nats and their young ready Josiah Gray. You can get Miami plus 115 the money line. You can get the Nats at minus 135. Total here is 9. You can get the Nats at minus 1.5 in the run line at plus 155. I'm actually going to be on Josiah Gray. Got this game a little earlier at minus 130. I don't feel a lot of comfort backing Washington. But Trevor Rogers has just been terrible this year. His numbers in 63 innings, 5.86 ERA, 1.63 whip, 31 walks. So almost a half a walk an inning, 58 strikeouts. Versus Josiah Gray, 75 and a third innings, 3.82 ERA, 1.21 whip, 33 walks, so a few too many there, and 82 strikeouts. More than a strikeout an inning. However, he's pitched even better lately. When I look at his last few games, he has given up two earned runs or less in his last five games. He's basically given up two earned runs against Texas in the last start, shut the Phillies out over six innings, shut Miami out over six innings, gave up one earned run to Cincinnati over six, and one earned run to Colorado over five. So he's turned things around, getting some strikeouts, obviously, pitching well. Don't really love either lineup here, although the Nats tend to hit a bit better against lefties. Versus lefties, Washington is hitting has an average of .256, which is ninth best in the league, Major League Baseball. On base percentage of .327, also ninth best. Their slugging's down to 23rd at .371, so not hitting for a lot of power against lefties. However, they are hitting them at a decent clip, and Rogers has just been giving up way, way too many hits and too many walks. Like I said, he's given up 31 walks in his 72 innings, just 58 strikeouts. He's been hit around a fair bit recently. In his last five games against the Mets, he gave up three earned runs against the Mets. Again, he gave up three earned runs against Philly in 3 2/3 innings, four earned runs against the same Washington Nationals. Five innings, six hits, two earned runs, a walk, five strikeouts. So a decent line there. Prior to that, at Colorado, 3 2/3, five earned runs. Prior to that, at Atlanta, five innings, three earned runs. And also at Atlanta before that, four innings and five earned runs. So he's been struggling this year, and I don't necessarily see that changing today. Don't necessarily love backing the Nats, but I think Gray is pitching well. Rogers is not. And at minus 130, happy to back the Nats here. I'm going to take a quick break and hit the rest of the games when we come back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right, on to the rest of the games. We have 6:05 in the East. St. Louis Cardinals are in Philly, and you get Miles Mikolas on the hill for the Cards, the righty, versus Bailey Falter, the young lefty, for Philly. Cards come in minus 140. Favorites, you can get them on the run line at minus 1.5 plus 115. And Falter and the Phillies, you can get the home Phillies at plus 120. Total here is 9.5. And I'm actually on St. Louis. If you can get it a little better than 140, shop around. But Mikolas has pitched really well. And although Falter is a good pitcher, he's a lefty, and St. Louis hits lefties really well. This year, against lefties, the Cards are hitting .271 average, fourth in majors, .339 on base, fifth in majors, and .443 slugging, sixth in the majors. So they're hitting lefties well. Valter's a young kid, only 20 innings pitched this year, 4.5 ERA, 1.4 whip, 6 walks and 13 strikeouts. So not really mowing guys down. But the flip side is Miklos has pitched really well. I think he's outperforming his numbers, but he has pitched not his numbers. His numbers are outperforming how good he is. 94 and two-thirds inning, 2.57 ERA, 0.96 whip, 19 walks and 78 strikeouts. So not getting a ton of strikeouts. However, he has pitched well. He has pitched consistently. Hate going against the Phillies at home, but I just think Miklos has done well. And the Phillies against lefties, especially young lefty, the Cards against lefties traditionally do well. And this year they've been doing quite well. So I'm actually going to be on St. Louis's money line, -140. If I can get -140, if I can get a little cheaper, I will. I'm going to shop that around a little. Next game, 6:40 in the East. We have the Braves in Cincinnati. The Braves throw their ace lefty, Max Fried. And Mike Minor, the lefty, goes to the bump for the Reds. You can get the Braves at -280, the Reds at +230, total here 9.5, and you can get the Braves on the run line at -160. None of these numbers make sense. None of these numbers I can get to. -280 is just way too much for a game in Cincinnati. If Minor can actually show up and pitch decent and the Reds pop and get some balls in the air, maybe hit a couple home runs, all of a sudden it's a whole new game. I don't expect that to happen. I think Atlanta wins, probably wins easy. But even on the run line at -160, I can't be behind that. So I'm going to pass on this game. It's a stay away from me. 7:05 in East, we have the Brewers in Pittsburgh to face the Pirates. Milwaukee's ace, righty Corbin Burnes is on the hill. And Pittsburgh's young up-and-coming star, righty Ronzi Contreras, is on the hill for them. You can get Burnes at -200 on the run line at -115. You can get the Pirates at +170. Total here is 7.5, so obviously a pitcher's duel is expected. Corbin Burnes, 93 and a third innings, 2.41 ERA, 0.92 whip, 21 walks, 119 strikeouts. So he's doing his Corbin Burnes thing. He's only a 6-4 record, but I think that's because the Brewers' bats have let him down in a few games. Contreras, on the other hand, doing well for a young guy, 42 and a third innings, 2.76 ERA, 1.35 whip, 19 walks, so a few too many walks, and 42 strikeouts. He has pitched better lately. Started in the bullpen. I think this is going to be a good game. I was looking to the first five under, but it's a pretty low number. I might jump on this, but the first five under is 3.5. I see a +100. I might get on that one because I think Burnes can completely shut down Pittsburgh. And if Contreras can do well, Milwaukee's bats haven't been super hot lately. So if he can shut them down for a few innings, we're looking at that under. So I'm looking at the under 3.5. If it were 4, I'd like a little more, but then it's going to be juiced to -130, -140. So right now I see a under 3.5 first five innings at +100. That's probably the play here because the other numbers are just too far out of whack for me. Next game is in Detroit where we get Kansas City. And I'm not sure who's on the hill for the Tigers. I see Michael Pineda now. See, Brad Keller is definitely on the hill for the righty for Kansas City. Now I'm seeing Michael Pineda, the righty for Detroit. And just trying to hit refresh. Not sure if it's going to update anything, but I have the Tigers slight favorites at -115. And still to be determined on the site I'm looking at. So I've got Tigers at 115 favorite. You can get the Royals at -105. Total here is 8. And you can get the Tigers run line at +170. Pineda is pitching. I think I'm actually going to be on the Tigers in this game, which I hate to say because I'm not sure I've backed them at all this year. He's coming back from injury, 22, but I think he got a ball to the face. So it was not an arm injury, not a leg injury. So hope he's all right, but that's I guess if you're going to get an injury as a pitcher, that's the best kind to have. As silly as that sounds. 22 and a third innings for Pineda, 3.22 ERA, 1.07 whip. 4 walks, 12 strikeouts. Not striking out guys as much as he has historically, but 22 and a third is way too small sample size. Keller, on the other hand, has been doing his Brad Keller things. 2-9 record, 79 innings, 4.56 ERA, 1.34 whip, 26 walks, 51 strikeouts. I just don't – not a fan of Brad Keller from a wagering or fantasy point of view, and I can't really see him doing much tonight. However, Detroit's bats have been so bad. this year. Kansas City hasn't been much better. Hard to back either team here, although I'd probably, again, if Pineda's on the hill, and I see this just kind of as I'm doing the show, it's popped up, he's on the hill for the Tigers. I'm actually going to back them probably at -115. I'm going to shop around, see if I can get a little better price. Total here is 8. With two bad pitchers, you think they might be able to get above that, but two bad offenses, which way do you go? Probably stay away from me. It's juiced to -120 on the over. You can get the even, under 8 at +100. And not going to touch the Tigers run line, even as juicy as +170. Next game of the night has the New York Yankees in Cleveland to face the Guardians. Ace, although he hasn't been their ace this year, but he's been pitching pretty well. Garrett Cole on the hill for the Yanks, and Aaron Civale, who has not been pitching well, on the hill for Cleveland. You can get the Road Yanks -225, the Home Guardians at +185. Total here is 8, and you can get the Yankees on the run line at -130. Cole comes in 87 and a third innings, 2.99 ERA, 1.01 whip, 23 walks, 111 strikeouts, having a great year. Started a little cold, but has been having a great year. Typical Cole. Aaron Civale, on the other hand, 2-4, 40 innings, 7.2 ERA, 1.6 whip. Those are terrible numbers. 13 walks and 39 strikeouts. So he's striking out a batter per inning, not walking a ton, but obviously giving up way too much contact. And you don't want to be doing that facing the Yankees. So I like the Yankees to win. I just can't get there. Even on the run line at -1.5, at -130, that's a little much. Total here is 8. You know, I could see the Yanks getting 5-6 runs. The Yanks might get 8 on their own, but I could also see Cleveland getting completely shut down. They're hitting all right earlier, but they seem to have gone into a little cold spell. So can't really back them to put up many runs against Cole and the Yankees. Next game is a game that I think is interesting, but I can't find a number on either. I can't find a way to get to a number. The Rangers are in New York to take on the Mets. You get Righty Glenn Otto on the hill for the Rangers and Righty Chris Bassett on the hill for the Mets. Rangers are +155 in the money line. Home Mets -175. Total here is 9. You can get the Mets at +115 on the run line. And Otto comes in kind of up and down this year. A couple starts in a row, he looks decent, and then he gives it back up. So we're not really sure what to expect, and his numbers kind of show not to back him. 42 and a third innings, 5.31 ERA, 1.51 whip. He's giving up 1.5 base runners per inning. 26 walks, way too many walks, and 34 strikeouts, not getting a ton of whiff. So putting a lot of guys on, pitching to contact, not a good recipe. The Mets, on the other hand, Bassett comes in two-thirds inning, 4.01 ERA, 1.15 whip, 26 walks, and 95 strikeouts. He's been doing well, had a little bit of an injury. I'm seeing Bassett on one screen and Peterson on the other. If Bassett is pitching versus Otto, actually Peterson's pitching. Bassett's pitching against Otto, I'd definitely be on the run line there. I see the Mets winning, but I can't lay 175, so I can see them winning by 2, so I might back the run line at +115. If it's Peterson, I'll probably stay away from me. Next game is in Colorado, and we have Arizona. Just trying to pull this up on my screen. Yeah, we have Merrill Kelly and the Diamondbacks. You can get them in the road at +100. Antonio Sensatella and the Rockies at home -120. Total here, typical Colorado total at home, 11.5. And you can get the home Rockies at +150 on the run line. I'm actually leaning towards Colorado. I haven't pulled the trigger yet on this one. Sensatella always pitches better at home. His numbers this year do not compare to Merrill Kelly's, but he's pitched better lately. He always pitches better at home. And Merrill Kelly started out pretty well, but he's really cooled down. The offense is straight up. Arizona's a better offense than Colorado. But again, Colorado hits really well at home. So we get Kelly 84 innings on the season, 3.64 ERA, 1.30 whip, 30 walks, 70 strikeouts versus Sensatella. His numbers do not look good. 58 innings, 4.66 ERA, 1.78 whip, 14 walks, 33 strikeouts. However, like I said, he has pitched a little better lately. Just trying to pull up his recent game logs. And where are we here? There we go. D-backs and Rockies. And Sensatella's last outing at Minnesota, he got hit pretty hard. 5 innings, gave up 4 earned runs. Prior to that, against San Diego, at home, 6 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run. That's pretty impressive at home. Before that, against Cleveland, at home, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 8 hits, a walk, and 4 strikeouts. At the Giants, before that, 6 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run. So he's pitched a little better lately in 2 games at home against San Diego and Cleveland. Those are pretty impressive numbers. Merrill Kelly, on the other hand, has kind of been hot and cold. Last game out against Detroit at home, gave up six innings, gave up 4 earned runs. Pitched well against Minnesota, 7 innings, 1 earned run. Prior to that, against Cincinnati at home, 6 innings, 8 hits, 5 earned runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. So I'm not really willing to back Kelly. The Rockies hit way better at home. I think I'm going to back Senzatella. If I can get a little better than minus 120, I will. I think they have the ability to beat Arizona. I think they have the ability to get to Kelly. And with Senzatella pitching better at home, I'm willing to back the Rockies here, which is words that rarely come out of my mouth this season. Next game of the night has Baltimore in Minnesota to play the Twins. We get young righty Spencer Watkins on the hill for Baltimore and righty Joe Ryan on the hill for Minnesota. You can get the O's at plus 185 on the money line, the home favorite Twins at minus 225. Total here 9.5. You can get the Twins on the run line at -1.5 at minus 110. I like the Twins here. I just don't like them laying 225. They've not been hitting well lately. And Baltimore is coming off their first winning month in 5 years. They're the only team in baseball that didn't have a winning month over the last 5 years. They had a pretty weak schedule in June, but I think they finished one game above 500. So hats off to them. And unfortunately, they're in the toughest division of baseball in the AL East, but they've been playing teams tough all year long and staying in games. So I can't really lay 225 the Twins against them. Joe Ryan, he comes out with decent numbers, but he struggled lately. 59 innings, 3.2 ERA, 1.12 whip, 17 walks and 53 strikeouts. But lately, he has not been pitching that well that those numbers indicate. At home versus Colorado, 5 innings, 8 hits, 3 earned runs, a walk, and a strikeout. Prior to that, at home against Cleveland, 6 innings, 7 hits, 3 earned runs, a walk, 7 strikeouts. At Seattle, 4 2/3, 5 hits, 4 earned runs, a walk, and 3 strikeouts. So his last 3 outings, he's been starting to get hit around a little. Colorado, Cleveland, and Seattle, not exactly a murderer's row, especially Colorado at Minnesota. Gave up 8 hits, 3 earned runs over 5 innings. Spencer Watkins, his numbers are just not really enough, I don't think, this year to get a good handle on him. 35 innings pitch, 5.14 ERA, 1.63 whip, 16 walks, and 18 strikeouts. So he's not having a stellar year himself, but I just can't lay 225 with the Twins here, so probably stay away from me. When I look at some team totals here, I think both teams can score runs. The over here is 9.5. I think both teams can get to the opposing pitcher. Even if you look at the first 5 numbers, that may be the over 5. Yeah, it's over 5 in the first 5 innings. You can get a minus 115. If that were 4.5, I'd certainly be on it, but you're probably going to pay a 140, 145 price at that. So probably definitely stay away from me. Next game of the night is in Houston, where we get the Astros hosting the LA Angels. Now, LA starter comes in with Mike Lorenzen on the hill, and you can get Houston and Christian Javier, both right-handers. LA comes in plus 145 on the money line. The home Astros favored at minus 165. Total here is 8, and you get the Astros at plus 125 on the run line. Lorenzen started out well, has hit some road bumps recently. 68 innings, 4.24 ERA, 1.26 whip, 28 walks, way too many walks in 68 innings, 52 strikeouts. Javier, on the other hand, 62 2/3, 2.73 ERA, 1.05 whip, 24 walks, 81 strikeouts. And I just like the way he's pitching. I know the Astros are going to be down Yordan Alvarez for sure, as I think he's in concussion protocol. And the lineup isn't going to be as stacked as usual. But Lorenzen's been giving up hits. Javier has been limiting hits lately. So I like the Astros. I don't like them at minus 165. So you might have to look to the run line there. I hate going all these run lines, but I would lean 125 in the run line is a pretty nice price. So I'd lean that way. Not sure I'm going to pull the trigger. In the over 8, I see Javier being able to limit the Astros to 2 or 3 runs. Or limit the Angels to 2 or 3 runs. So the Astros score 4 or 5 against 5 or 6 against Lorenzen. Perhaps they tend to be playing to the under a fair bit this year. So I could see more of a 4-1, 5-2 victory. So that puts us to the under. So not really sure I want to jump on that. Next game, third last game of the night, is in Seattle, where we get what should be an interesting game. A couple cellar dwellers, but who knows which way this is going to go. You get the Oakland A's behind their righty James Caprillion, and you get the Mariners behind their veteran lefty Marco Gonzalez. Oakland comes in at plus 160 in the money line. The home M's at minus 180. Total here is 8, or on the run line for the M's, you can get them at plus 115. Kaprielian has struggled. Doesn't have a win in this season. I think that isn't, well, he hasn't been pitching well, but that doesn't help when you have Oakland's offense by him. 0-5, 52 innings, 5.88 ERA, 1.44 whip, 25 walks, almost a walk every half inning, or a walk every two innings. 36 strikeouts. Gonzalez doing his Marco Gonzalez things, which he's kind of done throughout his career. 4-8 records, not a great record. 81 and two-thirds innings, 3.31 ERA, 1.31 whip, 31 walks, and 47 strikeouts. So still pitching in contact, not striking out guys enough. But he has pitched a little bit better lately, which is why I'm looking at them. But minus 180 is just too steep a price. And Gonzalez's last few outings against the Angels, 6 innings, 2 earned runs. Against Oakland, these Oakland A's, 7 innings, 7 hits, 2 earned runs, a walk, and 2 strikeouts. Against the Mariners, 6 2/3, 1 earned run. Against Boston, 4 1/3, 2 earned runs. So he hasn't given up more than 2. He's given up 2 earned runs in 3 of his last 4 starts, and the other one was only 1. So he's been pitching better. But again, he pitches to contact, and I don't know that Oakland's a team that you really fear with the contact. Flip side of that is Kaprielian against Kansas City recently, 5 1/3, 3 earned runs. Against these Mariners, 5 1/3, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. Gave up 5 earned runs and 3 2/3 to Boston prior to that. So he's been kind of up and down all year, more down than up, and he doesn't have the offense to back him up. So I've got to look to the M's, but at minus 180, I don't know I can do that. At minus 1.5 on the run line, the thing is they could probably score some runs. So this total of 8 is probably reachable. The problem is neither offense has been doing all that well, and Oakland has been god-awful most of the year offensively. So, you know, you could see, again, a 4-3 game, a 5-2 game. Don't know which way this goes. I lean the M's and Gonzalez. I probably lean the over. It's juiced up to minus 120. And at 115 on the run line for the M's, not a lot of value there. If that were like a 125, maybe. But at 115, not sure I can get on that. Second last game today, which could be a pitcher's duel or it could not be a pitcher's duel. And that's what you get when you get Blake Snell on the hill, the lefty for San Diego at the Dodgers, and Tony Gonsolin, the righty. You can get Snell and the Padres at plus 155. You can get the home Dodgers at minus 175. Total here 7.5. So market's expecting a pitcher's duel. And you can get the Dodgers at plus 120 on the run line. Now, the Dodgers are behind Tony Gonsolin, perfect 9-0, been pitching fantastic. 74 innings, doesn't tend to go too deep in games, kind of a 6-plus inning guy, but has been doing a great job. 1.58 ERA, 0.85 whip, 23 walks, 69 strikeouts. Snell, on the other hand, 35 and a third innings. He was hurt for a good chunk, but he's 0-5, 5.6 ERA, 1.44 whip, 19 walks, and 38 strikeouts. So he's been struggling. Tends to pitch better at home. And if I look up his more recent games, at Colorado, his last game was at home against Philly, 5 2/3 inning, 4 earned runs. At Colorado, 4 2/3, 5 runs, 4 earned. A little tough there. Versus Colorado at home, 6 innings, 2 earned runs. Mets at home, 4 innings, 4 earned runs. At St. Louis, 6 innings, 2 earned runs. At Milwaukee, 5 1/3, 3 earned runs. At home versus Milwaukee. At Philly, 3 2/3, 3 earned runs. So he's given up basically 4 earned runs in his last 3 of his last 4 starts, and he's given up more than 3 earned runs in 5 of his last 7 starts. And these are not the Dodgers that he's going against either. So I can't really back him. Gonsolin's been fantastic. He's given up in his last, 7 starts here, 2 earned runs twice, 1 earned run 3 times, and 0 earned runs twice. Pitching basically anywhere from, he had 1 5 inning outing against St. Louis, but he doesn't go more than 6 innings. He hasn't got more than 6 innings once in his last 7 starts. So I like him, but not minus 175. That's just too much to pay. Maybe the run line at plus 120, because I think the Dodgers win. I think the Dodgers get the Snell. Maybe even Dodgers team total. If I look that up, when we're getting the team totals for the Dodgers, it's probably going to be, over 3.5 and minus 150. You can get over 4.5 at plus 120. It's probably a number I like. The thing is, with Snell, as bad as he's been, he does have the ability to obviously pitch very good games. I don't see it coming, but he does have the ability to throw up a good game. So the Dodgers get to him for over 3.5 at minus 150. That's too steep a price. So if I can get 4 at maybe minus 110, minus 115, something, 4.5 at plus 120 is probably not a bad price either. for the Dodgers team total. Last game of the night is in San Francisco, where we have Lance Lynn and the White Sox going against Alex Cobb and the Giants. You can get the White Sox at plus 130 in the money line. The home Giants minus 150. Total here is 7.5. So pitchers do expect it. You can get the run line for the Giants at plus 145. I don't think this is the pitcher's duel that people are expecting or the market's expecting. I think this is more of a commentary on the offenses that are struggling. Because Lance Lynn comes in, coming back from injury, too hard to read much into these numbers. 16 innings pitched, 6.19 ERA, 1.44 whip, 3 walks, 17 strikeouts. That ERA and whip, those are not Lance Lynn numbers. And he's probably still kind of in spring training mode. But he hasn't looked good. And for Alex Cobb, on the flip side of that, 3-3, 46 innings pitched, 5.48 ERA, 1.46 whip, 14 walks, and 53 strikeouts. So he's not walking on too many guys, and he's striking out a lot, but he's obviously giving up too much contact. And in San Francisco, bit of a pitcher's park, but two guys that are struggling. I think this is just with total 7.5. I think this is just a commentary on two offenses that are struggling too. The White Sox just do not hit righties well. I'm not really sure which way to go here. There's probably some value on Lance Lynn at plus 130. Can the Sox get to Cobb? Sure. But can the Giants get to Lynn? Sure, because he hasn't pitched that well. I think he's going to break out of it. I don't know that he's going to be the ace he was the rest of the way. But at plus 130, there might be some value there in the Sox. And even the over 7.5. These guys are not pitching well in San Francisco. I could see some runs being scored. Just question is hard to say how many. So that wraps up the 15 games. Not a lot of plays for me. I do like the Nationals money line of minus 130. I do like St. Louis money line of minus 140. I like Houston. Their price is a little high at minus 165, so might look to the run line at plus 125. And not a lot of other definite plays there. I'm going to watch this board closer to game time, maybe pull some games then. But should be some interesting battles for sure. And I do like that Milwaukee-Pittsburgh pitching matchup, Burns against Contreras, the established ace of Milwaukee versus the up-and-coming ace of Pittsburgh. So I think that'll be an interesting game. Not a lot of run score, but should be a good pitcher's battle. So before I go, though, I do want to remind you of a couple partners we have here. One is Manscaped. And if you haven't already, go to manscaped.com. When you sign up, use the coupon code HOOPBALL20, that's HOOPBALL20, for 20% off your orders and free shipping. And mybookie.ag, use the code HOOPBALL on the third page to sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there. And like I started with, there's a couple guys. If you're not already on these guys, if you're a tennis fan, you want to follow Wimbledon, get some wagers in. You have to follow Fish_Fisher and the number 4. Fisher 4. He's our handicapper for tennis. And Blake LaWatch has been on fire for us, as I said earlier in the year, up 17.5 units in Major League Baseball already. It's on Twitter. He's at Blake, LAWATCH. Check him out. Lots of good input, lots of good comments from him. And if you're part of our wagering group, you can get all of his plays in our wager pass every day. So hope you enjoyed the show. Happy Canada Day to our Canadian listeners. Happy July 4th in a few days to those south of the border. Hope everybody has some games they're enjoying tonight, some profitable wagers, and we will talk to you soon.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.